Just a few words about Rosh Chodesh. The mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel only applies on Shalosh Regalim. It doesn't apply on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and certainly doesn't apply on Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, we have the pasuk, the concluding pasuk in next to the last pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya. V'hayomi dechodesh b'chotcha midei Shabbos b'Shabbato yavo kol basar nishtachos lefanai amar Hashem. It sounds like Lasid Lavoi. There's going to be Aliyah LeRegel on Rosh Chodesh. V'hayomi dechodesh b'chotcha midei Shabbos b'Shabbato. Shabbos does mean Shabbos. It means Shalosh Regalim. It means Yontif, like the Machos HaShabbos. So the Yalkut Shemayni has a comment on that pasuk at the very end of Yeshaya, that Bnei Yisrael felt bad all the years of the Golus. We didn't have the opportunity to be Oyla Regal. There was no Beis Hamikdash to be Oyla Regal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you feel bad about it. Lasi Lava, when the third Beis Hamikdash will be built, you have an opportunity to come to Oyla Regal every Rosh Chodesh. So you'll make up for what you lost all the years. So it's a Pella. It's a Pella. What do you mean? The mitzvahs are going to change. The Rambam has one of the 13 Yikari Hamuna. The mitzvahs in the Torah don't change. Whatever is a mitzvah is understood that it's a mitzvah hanuhegis l'doros. Sometimes you have a hayra shor that only applies temporarily. So that's not listed among the Taryag mitzvahs atar. Whatever is considered a mitzvah. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim on the opening pasuk in Parshas Tzav, Eloshin Tzav Eloshin Ziris Miyada l'doros. It's not. It doesn't qualify to be considered a mitzvah unless it's noheges l'doros. That's the Rambam in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, has the 14 klolim to determine what belongs in this minyan HaMitzvahs, what not. So he has one of the klolim is, you only include mitzvahs that are noheg l'doros. So how can it be that Losi Lovid will have a mitzvah be'aliyah l'regel on Rosh Chodesh, and we never had it in the past? The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to change the laws, going to change the dinim. It's very strange. So perhaps what it meant was that there was always a mitzvah kiyumis. If you assume, like we mentioned it in Tziv, in the end of Chukais, I quoted this big chiddush from the Vilna Gaon, that there's such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis, a mitzvah sorshus. You're not mechuyev to do it, but if you do it, so you have a kiyum mitzvah. He spoke about ma'isa behema, giving ma'isa behema to the Kohanim. Is it for nechop dalet, not for skuhuna? So maybe Aliyah LeRegel on Rosh Chodesh was always such a mitzvah kiyumis. Maybe it was always like that. The pasuk says by the Isha Shunamis that Elisha, we just had it in Haftarah, that Elisha gave her a bracha and she had a baby and then the baby died, so she went to go to the Isha Lakim, to Elisha, to tell him. So the husband asked, why are you going? L'chodesh ayom v'lo Shabbos. Today's not Rosh Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. So the Gemara says Mikan, the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah. You see from that pasuk, the husband asked the wife, why are you going? Why are you going to visit the Rebbe? Today's neither Rosh Chodesh nor Shabbos. So you see from here that where does it say Beregel? It doesn't say anything about Beregel. The Marsho asks, the Rishonim ask over there, the Ritvan Rosh Hashanah asks, what's going on? So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, that the phrase Lo Chodesh Hayom Velo Shabbos means the same as over here. Midei Shabbos b'Shabbato, Chodesh means Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos means Sholosh v'Golem. So Chai Vodim l'Hakbal Penirav b'Regel, the Nedi Behuda has a famous tshuva, where he writes that din d'oraisa doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. The Gemara says in Sukkah, Chai Vodim l'Hakbal Penirav b'Regel does apply b'zman hazeh. So the Nedi Behuda writes, b'zman hazeh, it's only midei Rabbanon. You can't say you're mechuyev to be mechabed the Rebbe to a greater extent than you're mechuyev to mechabed the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, the end of the first perek, that you're only mechuyev to stand up for the Rebbe once every day, once every night, once a day, once a night. It can't be that you're more mechuyev to be mechabed the Rebbe than to be mechabed the Rabbanu Shel Olam. You only say Kriyat Shema once a day and once a night. So to be mechabed the Rebbe is once a day, once a night. So that's what the Nadi Behuda writes, that Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim, and we visit the Shechina, we visit the Beis HaMikdash on Sholosh V'Golim. So we have Chayivarim L'Hakbol Peiner Abba Beregli Mukhiv to visit the Rebbe as well. But Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash Kayim, so he says, we don't have the ability to visit the Rabbanu Shalom, so I can't say that you Mukhiv Ben Atur to visit the Rebbe. So Bizman Hazeh thinks it's only with the Rabbanu.
Did
That's a machlokes on that Gemara. Ain't Adam Rashoi. I think the Loshon HaGemara Kiddush in the end of the first page. Ain't Adam Rashoi to stand up more than once a day, once a night. So Tosfos has two pshatim there. Maybe it's machlokes Rashi. Ain't Adam Rashoi means it's not permissible, or means you're not obligated to. That's a good question.
I thought the Shulchan Aruch said that not so. I thought the Rama says we stand up only once a day, once a night. But
You have to stand. If there's a Shaila Marasayan, the people won't realize that I daven Shachris in the Beis Medrash and I already stood up for the Rebbe in the morning. So they come at 9:30. They come to the Beis Medrash. So they stand up and I'm not standing up. They don't realize I already stood up in the morning. So if there's a problem on Marasayan, that the people will think I'm a Zalzal and then standing up, then you have to stand up a second time. But if the people will understand, then the Gemara says you're not mechuyev to stand up more than once a day and once a night. So the Vilna Gaon claimed that's the mocker of the Gemara Chai Barom Lahakmal Pein Rabba Beregel, because the husband says Lachodesh Hayoyim Veloy Shabbos, today is not Rish Chodesh. The pasuk in the end of Yishai says V'hoyim Midei Chodesh B'Chodesh Midei Shabbos B'Shabbat Yovel Kol Basar L'Shtachvas Lefanai. There's a din. Not only lasid lover, it seems like even in the past, in the days of Elisha Navi, there was an inyan of aliyah l'regel on Rosh Chodesh as a mitzvah kiyumis perhaps, and aliyah l'regel on Sholosh Regalim. Yidechodesh b'chodesh b'day Shabbos b'Shabbat amin Sholosh Regalim. So the husband says, l'chodesh ayam v'lo Shabbos, today is neither Rosh Chodesh nor Sholosh Regalim. So why are you going to visit the Rebbe? If it would have been Rosh Chodesh, it would have been Sholosh Regalim, he would have understood, because whenever there's an inyan of Aliyah L'Regel, there is an inyan of visiting the Rebbe. So it could be that that's the pshat in this Yalkut Shemani Psachidish, that Losi Lovin, when the third base Hamikdash will be built. So Rebbe Shlomo says, Kindalach, I feel bad that you didn't have Aliyah L'Regel for so many centuries during the time of the Churban HaBayis, so I'll give you an opportunity to be Aliyah L'Regel every Rosh Chodesh. It's an interesting idea. And the davening, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Musaf that he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and we should have the opportunity to offer the meaning Kisidram and Musafim Kihil Chosom. So it's a little strange Lashon. What does it mean? Tamidim Kisidram and Musafim Kihil Chosom? What does it mean Kihil Chosom? So Shlomo Levilna has in his Sefer on Erech Chaim, Binyan Shlomo, he was a dayan in Vilna, the end of the 1800s when the Vilna Shas was being printed. His grandson used to teach here in the yeshiva. When I was a student in high school, his grandson was a rebbe here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Markelis. So he used to tell over family traditions from Rabbi Shlomo Levilna. He's the one who told over that Rabbi Shlomo Levilna was the magia on the Vilna Shas. He checked the galleys to make sure there are no mistakes. And that says in the Vilna Shas, that says that, that's printed, it says that. And every so often in the back you have the Cheshek Shlomo Horus or Rabbi Shlomo Levilna, so he will explain why he put something in brackets and why he put something else in parentheses and why he changed the girsa. So obviously he was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. But the grandson mentioned that he used to be Magia on the Vilna Shas from memory because he knew Shas, Rashi, and Tosfos by heart. So he didn't look back in another Gemara. He just knew what it's supposed to say. So he corrected. So that's why others added on that. That's why every so often there's a misprint in the Vilna Shas that doesn't exist in any other edition of the Shas before. And it's always a Litvisha misprint, a shin instead of a samach instead of a shin, because the Litvaks mix up the shin with the samach. So he knew how to say the Gemara Baal Peh, but sometimes he would switch a word. So Rabbi Shlomo Levilna writes in his Sefer, and Binyan Shlomo, he has a suggestion that Musafim Kihil Chasom, we're going to be makrov the Musafim according to the halacha of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Not to meet him kisidrum, we're going to bring the korban tamid like it says in the chumash kisidrum tamid shal shachar in the morning and tamid shal bein abayim in the evening, in the afternoon, and musafim we're not going to be makrif the way it says, because the way it says in the pasuk birasha chachecham tekriva oilal Hashem, it says you bring 11 musafim, 10 oilos, and 1 chatos. So the Gemara says even though that's the way it says in the pasuk, but you makrif it faket, first you bring the chatos and then you bring the oilo. Every yontif it's like that. It says you always say t'minim kisur masafim kel chasm every yontif, because the way it's written in the chumash is not the way you makriv. First you makriv the chatos, which is mentioned second, and then you makdish the oilus, which I mentioned first. So that was his interpretation on the pasuk. Halal Amish Chodesh, everybody knows, is only a minhog. The Gemara in Tainis says that Rav Hikla Lebovel, Rav Shmuel learned by Rav Yudah Nosi, and then they left there to Israel. Each one went to a different city and Bovel established a big yeshiva. And Rav was a mature adult when he came to Bovel, and the Balabatim were making mistakes in Basel B'cholav and Hilchas Nida, Hilchas Shabbos, so he had to introduce more chumras to get them to observe. So one fine day, it was Rish Chodesh, they came to Shul, all of a sudden the Balabatim are saying Halal. So he thought, it's another mistake, they don't know anything, they don't know, you don't say Halal on Rish Chodesh. He never heard of it. He was an adult, never heard that you say Halal on Rish Chodesh. So he was going to walk over to the Chazan, Sovalafzakin, he was going to tell the Chazan he should stop in the middle. But then, Kibin the Chazza, the Komedal Gedilugi, he saw the Chazan is skipping every other paragraph. So one Kasha Farem for the other. So he realized, Minig Abzay Medem, it's only a Minig. And in Eretz Yisrael, he never heard of this minig. It's a minig that they had in Bovel to say Chatzi Halal. So, and that's why they skip. To demonstrate that it's only a minig, that's why they skip. Because the Gemara has a din, you're not allowed to say Halal. Ha'im Halal b'chol yom harizim acharif and megadif. That's the Gemara in the end of Shabbos. So it doesn't only mean Ha'im Halal b'chol yom every single day of the year. Whenever you say Halal, when you're not mechuyev to, so that's an Isser. So in order not to be in violation of the Issa, if you want to volunteer to say Halal on a day where there's no obligation, they have to skip certain paragraphs. So when Rav saw that the Medalge Dilugi, they're skipping every other paragraph, so he realized it's only a minig, so he let them continue with their minig. So that's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, whether you say machlekes in the practice today, whether you say a brocha, shekhar Rishonim b'mitzvah, so it's Ivanim when you recite the Halal on Rish Chodesh. So the Tosfos has in a few Masechtas that you do say a bracha. Otherwise, Rav would have understood from the fact that they left out the bracha, Rav would have understood that that it's only a minig. What do you have to wait till the Medal Gedi Lugin? Unless you say that he came in the middle of Halal. He came late to the minyan, he came early to the second minyan. So early. He walked in when the first minyan was saying Halal. He walked into Halal by the second minyan. What's going on over here? So Tosfos says apparently they said a bracha, so he couldn't detect from the lack of the bracha that it's only a minyan. And the Rambam holds not. So the Rambam holds you don't say a bracha. It's a bracha l'matoma. The Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you know that you say a bracha when you madlik neres Chanukah? Ve'echan tzivanu. The Gemara has an bamei madlikin, the whole sugi of Chanukah. How can you say kedushana b'mitzvah tzivanu ahadlokas neres Chanukah if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us? So the Gemara said that's legitimate. To say b'tzivanu on a mitzvah derabanan is okay. But the Rambam understood to say a bracha b'chas ha-mitzvah on a minig does not make any sense. That's the simple reading of the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav. The Gemara says that there was a machlekes in the days of the Amoraim. There was a machlekes regarding clapping Hoshinus on Hashanah Rabbah, whether it's a takonis nevim or it's a minig nevim. Was it introduced as a minig or as a real chi of the Rabbanon? So the Gemara says, Toshma, that one of the Chachamim was chobit v'loy baruch. He clapped the Hoshinus, but he did not say a bracha. So Shma minot that he holds that it's only a minig. How do you see? Because he didn't say a bracha. So you see the simple reading of the Gemara. You don't say a bracha on a minig because you can't say v'tzivanu. It's not a mitzvah menator. It's not a mitzvah midirabon. So the Rabbi Natam and Taisvis explains, no, there are different kinds of minhagim. If it's a minig to say halal, so sometimes halal exists as a real din. So the a minig to do something which sometimes is a real din, so that is a mitzvah on other occasions. So that you can say a brichas mitzvah. But the klapoy shyness never exists as a real din. It was a minig that mamish invented yesh meyayin from thin air. So it's not it's never a mitzvah. So that kind of a minig you don't say a bracha on. But that's their different practices. By many Sfardim, they don't say a bracha. Whenever you say Chatzi Halal, they don't say a bracha. Some have the meaning that the Chazan says a bracha and the Tzibur is Yotzeh with Shemei Koina. So the Chazan is the Shabbos Goy, in other words. He says the bracha, which is questionable, and everyone else says Amen. They'll be Yotzeh with his bracha.
Is that the bracha at the end of Halal? Those people, what do they do with the bracha at the end of Halal?
You can do the same. You can have the Chazan say the bracha. The Gemara in Bracha says that even though one is not obligated to recite the Halal on Rosh Chodesh, but if one started, then you have to finish. So the Gemara seems to say that you can't say the bracha at the end. That seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara and Brachas, even though you're not mechuyev to begin, but his chilu aim of seeking, so you do say the bracha to you.
Isn't it one bracha? Isn't it one long? It's not considered. It's not like one bracha,
just
the beginning.
No, it's not one bracha. The question is it a bracha smucha l'chabata? Tosis raises an issue. How come Yehalalucha is not posachas b'baruch? Usually we have a klal in the Gemara in brachas, in the Gemara in Pesachim. Every bracha has to begin with a baruch. So here it starts off, Yehalalucha Hashem makena kol ma'asecha. Why doesn't it posachas b'baruch? So one opinion of Tosis is that it's smucha l'chabata to the bracha in the beginning. So smucha l'chabata doesn't have to be posachas b'baruch. Then Tosis has another suggestion. Maybe you don't need, maybe some brachas don't have to be posachas b'baruch.
If an Ashkenazi is in a Sephardi minyan on Seder nights, so he doesn't say a bracha when they say halal, can he say halalucha since he's saying it with the sefer anyway?
If an Ashkenazi is in a Sephardish minyan on the El Pesach, maybe he can yotze with the Chazan's bracha.
Well, if the Chazan doesn't say Yehalucha, can we also say the same?
No, usually the Chazan does say the last line he says.
He doesn't hear it. Do we say the same klal of Mischel?
I don't know. Got to look in the Gemara brachas. Why is there such a klal? Why, if you're not mechuyev to say halal amesh chayru, so why does the halacha say if in schilu aim afsikin? I don't know.
Why
don't
we say
Chatzihala
and Yom
Yerushalayim?
Why do we say
Halal Shalom? Rav Soloveitchik said that you're not mechuyev to say Halal, so those who want to say should only say Chatzihala. Yitaka said based on this, that the Rabbeinu Yoina writes on the side of the Rif in Brochas, Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina, that's the Pshat in the Gemara by Rish Chodesh, because it's a minig and not a chiyuv, so that's why you're not permitted to say Halal Shalom, because it is din of Haim Halal B'chol Yom. That's exactly it. The Gemara has a din that if the Chazan and Chazaras Hashatz and Shachris, the Chazan this morning almost forgot Yalav Yov. He was going so quickly. He started saying, and then he caught himself and he said Yalav Yov. So the Gemara has a din if the Chazan forgot Yalav Yov, and everybody's screaming and he doesn't listen, he just finishes the whole Shemoneh Esrei. So you don't have the Chazan repeat. It's a Tircha de Tzibur. You don't have the Chazan repeat the Chazaras Hashatz of Shachris. We allow him to rely l'chatchila on Musaf. Because in Musaf, he's still going to daven Musaf. After Halal, after Kriyas HaTorah, he's going to daven Musaf, and it's going to be Chazaras Hashatz and Musaf. So you can rely l'chatchila on the fact that in Musaf, you're going to mention Haskaras Kedushas Hayom. So the Magen Avraham quotes a Machloikas Achrayinim. What's a din by a yochid, not the shliach tzibur? What if a yochid daven shachris forgot Yalav Yavai? Then he already said musaf, and he mentioned haskaras kedushas hayam and musaf, but the yochid have to repeat the shachris again. He says mamish not yotze, or do you say no? If the chazan lachatchila is allowed, if the chazan mishum tircha de tzibur is permitted lachatchila to rely on the haskara and musaf because of tircha de tzibur, so b'di'evit if the yochid already daven the musaf. So he can, but the Eved, he's Yotze. So many poskim hold like that. He quotes the Rama Mifanu, says like that. Rama Mifanu was a big Makubal who lived in Italy at the time of Rabbi Yosef Karo, and he was the one, Rabbi Yosef Karo corresponded with him. He was the one who took care of the publication of the Shulchan Aruch in Italy. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he sent a manuscript to the Rama Mifanu he should print, just to identify when he lived. So the Magen Avraham quotes, this is a machlekes. Achrayim and Rishonim are also involved in the machlekes. If a yochid already daven musaf, would he have to daven over shachris? So many poskim say, la'alocha, safik brachas la'akel, we should follow that opinion. So Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, a very interesting chiddush. If b'di'eved, the yochid can rely on haskaras kedushas hayam and musaf, and the chazan, the shliach tzibur, can rely on it lachatchila mishum tircha de tzibura. So why does the yochid even lachatchila have the right to repeat shachris? Why doesn't he lachatchila rely on the musaf? There's no tircha de tzibur. Why doesn't he rely on the musaf? What's the union of repeating the Shemana Esrei in order to mention Yalav Yavai? So it would appear perhaps that the pshat is like this, as Rav Chaim suggested. Perhaps the pshat is You yotze d'shmona esrei, even if you don't say yalav yavai. You just not yotze the chayvus haskaras kedushas hayom. That's a separate chiyuv. Tosfos has this machlokes. What if a person daven mincha on Rosh Chodesh in the afternoon? He forgot yalav yavai, and then he didn't realize it till after he's about to daven ma'ariv. So does he have to make tashlumin for the mincha? You say if you daven mincha, if you got yalav yavai, you're not yotze mincha, so you have to daven over. Or do you say no? You're yotze mincha. You just weren't yotze the chayvus haskaras kedushas hayayim. So by ma'ariv, it's already matzoi Rosh Chodesh. Tonight is no longer Rosh Chodesh. Only today is. So he won't gain anything. Ma'ariv arviach Taisa says you're not going to gain anything. If he's going to daven a second Shmoneh Esrei tonight after the first Shmoneh Esrei on ma'ariv, he's not going to say yalav yavai in the second Shmoneh Esrei. So that's how we pask in Halacha, that it's a machloika. So we pask in if a person said mincha, and if a person didn't daven mincha on Rosh Chodesh, then when he davens ma'ariv on Matzoi Rosh Chodesh, he davens the second Shmoneh Esrei as tashlumah for mincha. But if he did daven mincha, the only thing is he forgot to say yalav yavai, so we assume he was yotze d'chayvus tfilas mincha. He wasn't yotze d'chayvus haskaras kedushas hayayim. So if it's still Zman Mincha, so let him daven Mincha again. How can he daven Mincha again? So that's what Rav Chaim said, it's a Tfilas Nedove. You already were Yotze Mincha. You can offer a Tfilas Nedove in order to gain Askaras Kedushas Hayom. So he thought, Rav Chaim thought, that the same is the Pshat by Shachris. If a Yochid daven Shachris and he forgot Yalav Yav, he's Yotze the Shachris. He wasn't Yotze Chovis Askaras Kedushas Hayom. So the Gemara recommends he should daven a second time. You should offer a tefillas nedava. Offer a tefillas nedava, daven again, in order to mention haskaras kedushas hayayim during that zman of shachris. But if he already, the Magen Avraham paskens like this, Ramam Ifano, if he already did daven musaf, so he already did mention haskaras kedushas hayayim. So there's no value, there's no need in offering the tefillas nedava of saying the same nusach as shachris in order to gain yalav yavai. He already said musaf, he already daven musaf. So Rav Chaim said that if, based on this interpretation, so he said that since Bizman Hazeh and Shulchan Aruch, they recommend nobody should volunteer any Tfilas Nedova. Because we have Shvacha Kavanas, we're not Mechavan so well when we daven, so we always discourage everyone from offering a Tfilas Nedova. So he thought that Bizman Hazeh, one should L'chatchila do like that. If a person forgot Yalav Yom and Shachris, rather than daven over a second time, which would be a Tfilas Nedova, in order to gain the chayvus haskaras kedushas hayayim, it should be like lahatchila on the davening of musaf, just like the shleich tzibur in Shulchan Aruch. An interesting chiddush. So the shaila was, let's say a person davens mincha on Shabbos. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. A person davens mincha on Shabbos, he forgot yalav yavai. So if he say that the whole, so what would you say? He has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei in order to mention Haskaras Kedushas Hayayim. But if you say that Shabbos, you're not allowed to offer a Tfilas Nedova, so someone should say in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to daven Mincha a second time. Shulchan Aruch says, the Rambam says this, they quote from the Rambam, just like you're not allowed to offer Karbonas Nedova on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so too you're not allowed to offer Tfilas Nedova on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Akama doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch. So that's what the people ask on this explanation of Reb Chaim. It could be that there's a simple teretz on the kasha. It's a good tanya. How come the poskim don't say that if it's Shabbos and you forgot, you shouldn't repeat the Shmoneh Esrei? So it could be the halacha that you're not allowed to offer tefillas nedava is based on the assumption you're not allowed to offer korbanos nedava. What's the halacha? You're not allowed to offer korbanos nedava. You're only deicha Shabbos. We usually say korban tzibur is deicha Shabbos, korban yochid is not deicha Shabbos. But that's not an accurate presentation. It doesn't really depend. The Mishnah says in Temura, it doesn't really depend on korban yochid versus korban tzibur. There are certain korbanos yochid that are deicha Shabbos, certain korbanos tzibur that are not deicha Shabbos. So the Mishnah in Temura, in the second parak in Temura, sharpens the definition. If it's a korban shezmanu kavua, is Decha Shabbos and Yom Tov. Korban Shein's Manukavua is not Decha Shabbos and Yom Tov. So 95% of the time, Karbonas HaYochid are Ein's Manam Kavua. 95% of the time, Karbonas HaTzibur are Zmanam Kavua. But every so often, you have a Korban Yochid, which is which is manakavu, and every so often you have a carbon tzibul, which is ain't manakavu. So the Mishnah says it really doesn't, decha Shabbos and decha tuma doesn't really depend on carbon yochid versus carbon tzibul, it really depends on manakavu. So it could be that this is also considered this carbon, this tfilas nedava. The fellow wants to daven mincha a second time. He daven mincha on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and if he got yalav yavah, he said atar echad, and if he got yalav yavah. So true. Rab Chaim is saying that to offer the second Shmon Esrei is really a tefilas nedava, because you were yotze with the first Shmon Esrei, you were yotze mincha with the first Shmon Esrei, and to daven the second time is really a tefilas nedava. But we encourage it in order to gain the haskaras kedushas hayam. So the Shabbos, how can you encourage that on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So it could be that we would even allow karbonis to be, or karbon nedava would be allowed on Shabbos and Yom Tov if it will be zmana kavua. So maybe this is considered like zmana kavua. You want to gain the haskaras kedushas hayayim, which you missed. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, pasuk in Tehillim. So the Gemara says, V'chi bayom evarach masa balayla eim evarach masa. You only praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the daytimes. You don't bless the Rabbanu Shalom at nighttime. What does it mean, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? Ella, what it means is b'chol yom v'yom teilam eim b'chosav shal yom. Whenever the day has something unique and special about it, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed, whatever, you have to mention this in the benching, b'chas hamazon, you have to mention this in the Shmon Esrei. Whenever you're offering a series of brachas, if you say shakal niya b'dvaroi, over a cup of milk, so you don't have to mention shakal niya b'dvaroi v'hayom Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to mention. But if you have a series of brachas, like alamichya, like Shmon Esrei, like Birchas Hamazon, so then you have to mention b'chol yom v'yom tein l'mein b'chois v'shayyam. You have to mention it. So maybe that's considered a tefilas nedavah, as zman
kavua. How can you hold that you would be able to make a tefilas nedavah in order to be masker Rosh Chodesh, but also hold that the chiyuv of Meir Ma'ora is not, doesn't mean that you're not yom to the tefillah? Because if you're able, if it is that you still have to bring the korban because the korban is on kavua, since you weren't masakir the first time, that means you weren't yotze the first tefillah.
No, it was yotze the first tefillah, chayvas tefillah, but it wasn't yotze the other chiyah, but haskaras kedushas hayayim.
Is the chiyah in the korban that's representing?
No, that's a chiyah in tefillah. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, when you're reciting a series of brachas like Birchas Hamazon or Shmon Esrei, then you have to, you're thanking the Baruch Shalom, praising the Baruch Shalom about so many different things in a series of brachas, so praise him about
and
this too. We're not talking about an Issa Deraisa over here. To be makir karbonis nedova on Shabbos is a malacha. The malacha is only muta. The malacha is involved shchita and haktara. The malachas involved in offering karbanas are only mutter on the level of their isa. When it's a karban shezmano kavua, karban shezmano kavua means you absolutely mechuyev to bring it today, and there's no tashlumin. You can't bring it some other day. But in order to be permitted to daven a tefillas and dova on Shabbos, you don't daven tefillas and dova like you don't offer karbanas and dova. But it could be, for the purposes of not being allowed to offer a tefillas and dova, if it's a little bit zmano kavua like this, you have no choice. If you won't offer the tefillas and dava, you'll be missing the kiyum of the haskaras kedushas hayam. So maybe that's called zman kavua.
Is this only the Rosh Chodesh or also the Chol HaMoed?
Should be the same. Should be the same thing.
Can you be yotze the haskaras hayom by eating suda? Does it have to be the tefillah? Does it accomplish the same thing?
It's a good question. I don't know.
On Shabbos, you could just eat Shabbos and be yotze the
davening. Mm-hmm. You mean if a person... The Gemara has the same thing when you get to Birchas Hamazon. If a person recites Birchas Hamazon, he forgot to say Yalav Yavai. So the Gemara says if it's Chol HaMoed or Rosh Chodesh, you yotzei because there's no Chayv HaSuda. But if it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, when there's a Chiyuv Suda and you forgot Yalav Yavai in the benching, you have to repeat the benching. Why? You're not yotzei the benching. So the Pshat is no, you are yotzei the benching. You're not yotzei the Suda's Shabbos. You're not yotzei the Suda's Yom Tov. To be Kaver the Suda, L'shem Suda Shabbos, you need Kiddush in the beginning. If it's by Laila in the morning, and you have to have Haskaras Kedushas Hayom at the end. So if you bench and you forgot to say Ritzei Yalav Yavai, you're Yotze the benching, there's no problem on Chalta V'Savata V'Rach, but you're not Yotze the Suda Shabbos. So if it's Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, there is no Chiv Suda, just a Din, there's an Issa Tainus. But if it's Shabbos Yom Tov, there's a Chiv Suda, so you have to the Chachamim permit you to offer a second Birchus Hamazon to volunteer. Usually there's no nedava on Birchus Hamazon. They permit you to volunteer a second Birchus Hamazon in order to, you have a breira. If you want to, you can eat another meal. Shabbos morning, let's say the guy ate the whole meal, he had the cholent and kugel and everything, and then dessert and everything, and then he benches and he forgets to say ritzei. So you say, you were yotze the benchin, but you're not yotze the sudas. He has a brera now. He either can make kiddush again, he need a whole meal, but he's ready to platz. He ate so much in the first meal. So Chachamim give him a break. They give him a kula. They say, we permit you to offer a benching, like a tefillas nedava. We permit you to bench a second time in order to gain the kiyum of the suda. We don't require of you to eat another suda. If you want to eat another suda, fine. But they're not mechayiv him to. They give him a break. If he wants, he can just repeat the Birchus Hamazon and mention the Haskaras Kedushas Hayom. By the Hasidim, they tell a story. The Hasidim and the Misnagdim, but the Hasidim have a different punchline, the way the story ends. So they say that for many years, the Nadi Behuda and the Baal Shem Tov lived in the same village before either of them became world famous. Then the Nadi Behuda later went to the big city, went to Prague. But first he was in a little village. And Mrs. Nadi Behuda, I think, was a cousin of the Baal Shem Tov. So they lived in the same village. So then Baal Shem Tov was founding a new movement of Hasidus. So the Nadi Behuda called him into his office. And he said, look, you want to found a new movement, so we have to see if you know how to learn. You have to be a Talmid Chacham to be a leader. Now you don't have to be a Talmid Chacham. Now all the big leaders are, you don't have to be a religious, you don't have to believe in God to be a great Jewish leader. You can be a big politician, everything. You don't have to be religious at all. But the Nadi Behuda lived at a time that you had to be learned in order to be a leader among the Jewish people. So it happened to be Rosh Chodesh, so he asked him, he's going to ask him some elementary dinim to see if he knows din. So he asked him, what's a din if you forget Yalav Yavayt by Ma'ariv on Rosh Chodesh? The Gemara says a whole explanation why Ma'ariv is different. You don't have to repeat the Shemana Esrei by Ma'ariv. So the Nadi Behuda, so the Baal Shem Tov answered back, the story goes like a wise guy, and he said, Rebbe, it doesn't make a difference for your followers or my Hasidim. By my Hasidim, we will never forget the first time. Because we daven with such a hislavus, we will never forget them. By your followers, if you tell them to say a second Shema Nesed, they'll forget the second time also. So it doesn't make any sense that you should tell them to daven over Shema Nesed. So the Hasidish version of the story goes that I'm not Rish Chodesh, the Nadi Behuda forgot Yalav Yavai, and he said a Shema Nesed the second time. They forgot the second time also. After the Baal Shem Tov told him this story, so that's how the Hasidish version goes.
He
did. I don't know.
So what's the illustration?
No, the story, that's the famous story that the Baal Shem Tov answered, Rebbe, it doesn't make a difference for your followers or for my followers. And the Hasidim add on the last section, that day, that Rosh Chodesh, the Nadi Behuda himself forgot the first time, he forgot the second time. I remember once when a Baron Soloveitchik gave Shiurim in Yeshiva. So when he first came, he had a very small class. There were only 11 students. We learned Bob Mitzia, Shnei Mochsim, and Thomas. We were learning Bob Mitzia at that time. So once one of the students, and it was very cozy, it was a very tiny class, 11 students. So once one of the students raised his hand and he said, Rebbe, could you say that again? I wasn't paying attention. So he said, you know the story about the Nadi Behuda with the Baal Shem Tov? He meant, are you going to pay attention the second time? So the kid then never heard of the story. So Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik is called that I was smiling. So he said, oh, Shechter knows the story. He'll tell you later. But that's the story. So you want to know. You're going to pay attention the second time. Okay. Let's see. This week is Parshas Toldos. I'll learn a little bit Parshas Toldos. First pasuk is so difficult. Ve'elo toldos Yitzchak ben Abraham. Abraham holides Yitzchak. Why does it say twice Abraham? It says Ve'elo toldos Yitzchak ben Abraham. Obviously, Avraham Halidas Yitzchok. So Rashi quotes an interpretation from the Medrash that there were people who couldn't believe this miracle that Avraham Avinu was 100 years old and his wife was 90 years old and they had a baby. She had the baby, but they couldn't believe that he had a baby. So they said, Gad, the father of the baby is probably Abimelech and probably Paramelech Mitzrayim. The whole story doesn't make sense. So they couldn't believe it. Aram, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused it that Yitzchak was exactly the spitten image of Avram Avinu. And you looked at Yitzchak, you can see that it's in the genes. This is clearly the son of Avram Avinu. Avram Halidas Yitzchak. Everyone would say Avram Halidas Yitzchak. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the Ibn Ezra on this pasuk. Ibn Ezra says, Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, already tells you Yitzchak was the biological son of Avram. Then it says, Avram Halidas Yitzchak. The word Halid in Tanakh often means that he raised him, he educated him. Avraham Gidelas Yitzchak. Shouldn't think he was 100 years old, so how is he going to have patience to raise a little baby, an infant? This pasuk says, no, Avraham Halidas Yitzchak. So Ibn Ezra has a comment on the pasuk in the end of Chumash Bereshis. Gam b'nein bocha ben Menashe, yuldu al birke Yosef. What is the meaning, yuldu al birke Yosef? So he says they were raised by Yosef. Yosef was the great-grandfather. Gam b'nein bocha ben Menashe, Yuldal Birke Yosef, that the great grandfather raised them and he was mechanech them. So we have a din of Bikurim. When you bring Bikurim, you recite Mikra Bikurim. So the Mishnah has a machloikas satanaim where the Rager recites Mikra Bikurim. What's the issue? What's the nekudas hamachloikas among the Tanaim? Shaila is because you have to say. At the end of Rami Avirabi, yes, Kakarish Bocha, to give a blessing to Eretz Yisrael, the country that you promised our forefathers that you're going to give to their descent. Shenishbata Labaseinu Lasislano. So the question is, can a Ger recite Shenishbata Labaseinu? He is not a biological descendant of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Rambam, so it's a Machlekes Hatanaim and a Machlekes in Taisis and Baba Basra, Daf Pei Aleph. How the Paskin and the famous is in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Rambam and the Tshuvas HaRambam to Avadya Hager. Hager had a correspondence with the Rambam. So the Rambam writes in the Tshuva, the way he says in the Halacha, that when Avram Avinu's name was changed from Avram to Avraham, Avham HaGoyim is Haticha. What does it mean, Avham HaGoyim? That Avram Avinu is considered the forefather of all of the followers of the Jewish faith. He's like the founding father. George Washington was the founding father of America. Why, there are some people today, he's my father, biological father. No, he's the founding father of a free country. So Avram Yitzchak Yaakov are considered Aviseinu, the founding fathers of the Jewish religion. And anyone who converts to the Jewish religion and signs on to this and follows all of these traditions of the Jewish religion can truly refer to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov as Aviseinu. They don't have to be biological descendants. So this is along the lines of this Ibn Ezra, that holid doesn't always mean biologically giving birth. A lot of time it means to educate someone, to raise someone. So one who follows the hashkaf of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov is considered, in a certain sense, Zer Avram, and he can refer to them as Aviseinu. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying his pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara has a din. There's a chiyuv of kavod harav. There's a din of kavod talmid chachamim in general. Then there's a din of kavod rabbi muvak. If this talmid chacham is my rebbe muvak, then I have a special chiyuv kavod towards him. So what does it mean, rabbi muvak? So the Gemara gives the definition, sherov chachmasa himenu. So why is there a special chiyuv? And the Gemara says the loshon kol malacha she'ebed osa lerabbo, Talmud also the rabbi. Whatever activities, whatever service the slave is muchiv to do for the odon, so the Talmud is muchiv to do for the rabbi. So what kind of a lashon is that? Kol malacha she'eved osa the rabbi, Talmud also the rabbi. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of giving his interpretation that the eved is owned by the odon. He bought him. The eved sold himself as an eved k'nayni. Or someone else owned the eved k'nayni and he sold them to me. So I own the eved k'nayni. So because I own him, Kishori Bachamari, I own him, he's my property. I have no right to kill him, he's a human being, he's a person, because I own him, so therefore I have a right to demand of him that he should do work for me. So Kom Alocha Shebet Osa the Rabbah, Talmud Osa the Rabbah, the Rebbe owns the Talmud. Why does the Rebbe own the Talmud? Because if it's Roch Chachmasa Hemena, means that he, the Rebbe, just like a parent who gives birth to a child, so he created the child in a certain sense. So here, the Rebbe made the Talmud into a new type of personality. The Rebbe formed his Torah personality. So Rav Soloveitchik used to be fond of saying, that Uman Kaina Bishvach Kli. We were talking the other day about that. If I give the jeweler a piece of raw silver that's worth $1,000, and I say, make a piece of jewelry and make a menorah out of it, and I'll pay you $300. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma says, maybe the pshat is that Uman Kainim Bishvach Kli, the difference between $1,000 and $20,000, the $19,000 really belongs to the jeweler. But since he agreed, because Uman Kainim Bishvach Kli, whenever you create some shvach, you're kind of, the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he was Kone Shamayim V'Aretz. He's the one who created it. Whoever creates something owns it. So the Uman who creates the Shvach should perhaps be kind of the $19,000 worth of Shvach, the differential between just the raw chunk of silver and the final menorah. And he agreed in advance to take only $300 for it. He agreed to sell the $19,000 of Shutvas that he owns for $300. So then the Gemara says there wouldn't be any violation of Biyom HaTit Nuschara. Or should you say, no, Ein Uman Kaina Bishvach Kli, and the $300 I owe him, so since the $1,000 of raw material belonged to the one who gave it, so the extra $19,000 belonged to him too. That's a din of Aroy Ashbach. Like if you have a tree, an apple tree, so the tree belongs to me, so the apples that go onto the tree also belong to me. Well, let's say I own a field, and someone comes and he builds a hotel on the field. So the din is that Aroy Ashbach, I'm kind of, since the karka belongs to me, so whatever grows out of the karka, whatever someone builds on the karka, it's an extension of the karka, belongs to me. So since the raw material of the silver belonged to me, I gave it to you that you should make it into a beautiful menorah. So the extra $19,000 belongs to me based on Aroy Ashbach, and the $300 that I agreed to pay you is really Schiras Poel. So there we paskin, Rov HaRishonim paskin, Einu Men Koine B'Shvachli, he's not Koine D'Shvachalikli. So Rav Shach has a Shtigal Torah in his Sefer on the Rambam, that he shows that the Rambam paskins, Umen, Meikar Adin, Umen is Koine B'Shvachli. He has a Rambam in Maseches Me'ilo. He has a Rambam that he gets stuck. The only way to read the Rambam is that the Rambam holds Umen is Koine B'Shvachli. But normally we paskin Einu Men Koine B'Shvachli. So Rav Shach interprets, that's because there's an umdine that the Uman doesn't want to be koine. The Uman agreed to do the pa'ula for $300, and he agrees to let the balabais be koine the extra $19,000 with the din of Aroy Ashbach. But in the case of the Rambam and Maseches Me'ila, that the only way the Uman can get paid is doing work for Hegdash, that the only way the Uman can get paid a salary is if he's going to be koine b'shvach kli, then you revert back to the Ikad Din Daraisa, and you don't assume that the Uman is Mavata. Rav Soloveitchik was assuming like that, the Meikar Adin, there is such a din, the Uman Koine B'Shvach Kli. So he used to say that just like parents molded their children, they bring them into existence, so the Rebbe brings into, Rebbe takes a student who's a Goylom, and he makes him into a Torah personality. He thought that Rav Chachmasa Hemena doesn't necessarily mean that the Talmud knows 1,001 dinim, and the Rebbe taught him 501 out of the 1,001 dinim that he knows. It doesn't mean literally 51%. Rav Chachmasa Hemena. It means the Rebbe who converted the Talmud into a Torah personality. He formed the Torah personality. So that just like Kol Malacha She'ebed also the Rabbah, because the Odon owns the Eved, so the Rebbe who made the Talmud into something owns that part of the Talmud. So that's why the Talmud is Mechuyev to service the Rebbe. This was his Dvar Torah, yeah.
Isn't the reason that Talmud Chacham is able to be Mocha on his covers because it's his own Torah?
Yeah, yeah.
So, not his Rebbe's. His Rebbe, but he's not in Israel.
The chiyuv to be mechaber the Talmud Chacham because he learns Torah and Torah delay. Yeah. No, but the Rebbe made the Talmud into a Torah personality.
Should be the Rebbe's choice whether.
No. I don't know if it's such a strong kasha. Interesting point. Okay. The pasuk, people keep on writing about the source, the root of anti-Semitism. What is it based on? How come there's so much anti-Semitism all over the world? So all the explanations that are given all contradict each other. They say because the Jews were communists, because the Jews were socialists, because the Jews were capitalists, because every generation given other terrors, and all the terrors contradict each other. So you see from the Pasuk, the Gemara says a lashon halacha biyadu esheis of sayin liyankiv. It's a rule halacha biyadu. That's darkish shalolim. It's halicha shalolim. Here the pasuk says that Yaakov and Esav were fighting with each other. That's how the medrash by Yisrotzitzu Habonim. So there are different interpretations. Rashi quotes from the medrash. One interpretation: they were fighting with each other before they were born. So it's built in that there's a sinner between Yaakov and Esav. Yeah, what is it all about? It's a big pella. What is it all about? The Gemara has a comment that Har Sinai is sometimes referred to in Chumash as Har Chorev. So one opinion in the Gemara is that the real correct name is Har Chorev, and Har Sinai is a nickname. Why this nickname? Shemisham Yorda Sina La'olam. That anti-Semitism began after Maimon Har Sinai, when the nations of the world came to the realization that the Jews are the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and we try to live up to a mission, and the Torah was offered to the Ummah Sallam, and they turned it down, and they could have also accepted it, they could have also tried to live up to the mission. So they have this guilty feeling. They look at us, and they have a guilty feeling. That's the theme that the Kuzari picks up. Kuzari has this long arichas. He thinks that that's the root of anti-Semitism. But it's not based on all the historical explanations that are given every generation, because they all contradict each other.
At least
Doesn't have a right to be upset. Okay. Mm-hmm. In the yeshivas they always say the comment on the pasuk by Yisro Tzitzu Habonim B'Kirba Rashi has another pshat from the Met. One pshat by Yisro they were fighting with each other. The other pshat is by Yisro Tzitzu Milosh and Ritza to run. When she passed by the yeshiva Shem V'Yever, so one of them wanted to jump out and learn in the yeshiva. Yankov is jumping. When she passed by a church, so Esav is jumping out. He wants to pray in the church. So he couldn't understand what's going on. The same baby wants to jump out and learn in the yeshiva, wants to go to church. What kind of an adragonist is this going to be? So she went to ask V'telach Lidrush as Hashem. She asked the Novi. So the Novi said they're two different babies. Okay, that's okay. So one is going to be an Oved Avodah Zarah, one is going to be a learner. So then she was calmed down. She thought it's going to be the same person. It's going to be an Oved Avodah Zarah and Talmid Chacham. That would be a disaster. But if they're two different people, so that's not so bad. So the yeshivas, they say, why is Yisro Tzitzu Habonim? Why did Yaakov want to jump out and go learn in Yeshiva Shem V'Yever? The Gemara says that before the baby is born, the Malach is teaching him Kol HaTorah Kula inside his mother's body. So the Malach is probably a better Rebbe than the Rebbe that they had in Yeshiva Shem V'Yever. Why does Yaakov Avinu want to jump out? So they say the Teretz is, but if you're Chavrus, it would be Esav. So it's better to have a Rebbe, a Shvacha Rebbe, a Bas of Adam, than to have such a Gevaldiger Rebbe like the Malach. The main thing is who your Chavrus is. The main thing is who your Shechenim are. That's very important. On the pasuk by Yigdulu Hanorim, there's a famous medrash. Medrash says when children are young, so they all go to cheder and they all dress the same way, and you can't tell what's going to be with them. When they become a little bit adults, so then each one carves out his own personality, and then you can tell whether it's going to be is going to go to university and become a big whatever. Or he's going to go to a yeshiva and become a Talmud Chacham. So the Medrash has the comment, when the children become bar mitzvah and they start forming their own personalities, that's when the father should recite the bracha of Baruch Shepatrana Meyon Sheshalzeh. So the Rambam quotes it in Shulchan Aruch. Now, different minhagim, whether they say the bracha with Shem and Malchus or not. So many Rishonim have an attitude, you only say a bracha, b'shem ha-malchus, that says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, mekam v'yelech, also the top of b'shvachol shal mokam. The Gemara says in Megillah, the only one who knows how, the only people who have authority to compose a bracha, with anshe k'neses ha-gdoilo, big tamid ha-chachamim, Anshei Knesset HaGadol was a body that consisted of 120 Talmid HaChachamim, Ubehem Kama Nevim, and amongst them were several Nevim. And they knew, these Talmid HaChachamim with these Nevim, they knew how to compose brachas and tefillas. And they were the ones who composed the Kiddush and Abdallah and tefillas and brachas and everything. And then later, the Tanoim and Amaroim, some were composed by Amaroim. Tekiyas of Rav. Rav composed a lot of the tefillas. And later, the Gemara says, "Mi amal gueros Hashem yashmiya kol tefilosa." Who is roy to compose a tefila? Who misha yochel yashmiya kol tefilosa? One who understands elokus, one can say. After the Anshei Knesset HaGadol and after these people passed away, Mekam Yelech, after them, also the Sapa b'shvachu shalom b'akum. You shouldn't compose your own brachas. You shouldn't compose your own tefilas. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that every so often he had to go to a graduation or something, and they would have some rabbi offer a benediction or a prayer. He said he thought they were all ridiculous. We have prayers in Tanakh. Well, what do they have to make up their own prayers? And the Congress, every so often, they invite a rabbi to say an opening prayer, a closing prayer. He thought that none of them had any tongue. He said, maybe in the days of the Rishonim, they knew how to compose piyutim, they knew how to compose kinnis. And so he says, today he doesn't think it makes sense. He thinks someone should compose a kinna over the Shoah, but he says he doesn't think we have people today who know how to write these things, how to compose these things. So that's a machlekes and Rishonim. We have brachas that were added on by the Ga'onim, so a lot of times people say these brachas. Let's say a woman says the bracha, Shasani Kirutzono. That doesn't say in the Gemara. Noisen Lo Yoichach doesn't say in the Gemara. So some Rishonim have the attitude, you don't. The Rosh in the beginning of first Perek in Ksubas has, when a person first gets married, so the Ga'onim have a whole new Sacha bracha, what the Chosin should say. The bracha doesn't say in the Gemara. So many have the attitude, you shouldn't add on any additional brachas. So some say that this bracha of Baruch Shepatranim Yonshin Shalzeh is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara, so you shouldn't say B'Shem Amach. Others say, the Vilna Gaon says, what do you mean? But it's in the Bereshis Rabbah. The Bereshis Rabbah is from the days of the Amaroim, from the early Amaroim. So why is that Gora from the Gemara? And every bracha that we say, says in the Gemara, what, the Gemara is a Siddur? The Gemara is not a Siddur. There are a lot of brachas that don't say in the Gemara. You have to go fish in the Tosefta to see what the Nusach of the davening and Rosh Hashanah says in the Gemara. It doesn't say in the Gemara. They had a tradition. It's in the Siddur. Not everything appears in the Gemara. So the Vilna Gaon holds that you should say Shema Malchus. Different practices. The pasuk describes Vahi Rav Boritz. There was a famine. Bavad Harav Harishan of Shehayav Bimei Avraham. Vayelech Yitzchak El Avimelech Melech Plishtim Girora. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Yitzchak followed Masorah. He follows all the traditions of his father. In the Sefer Ksava Kabbalah, Ksava Kabbalah was written by a rabbi from Germany. So apparently they don't like to look in the Zohar. So whenever he quotes a Zohar, he calls it Mechilta the Rav Shimon Baichoy. So you shouldn't realize that it's a Zohar. So he says, it says in the Mechilta the Rav Shimon Baichoy that it says that Yitzchak dug the exact same wells as Vayoshav Yitzchak Vayachpas Beres Amayim Shechofer B'mei Avraham Avay Vesatman Plishtim Vayikolahem Shemus Kashimos Shekorlahem Avay Vikol. He dug the same wells and he gave the same names. And the Pasuk means to teach us that Yitzchak Avinu followed in the footsteps of his father. He was, his father was a big pioneer and a big Bal Macharish, Avram Avinu, an original thinker. And if the son wants to be an original thinker, so all the chidushim of the father will be lost. They will go down the drain. So Yitzchak didn't try to be original. He just does everything exactly the same as the father. So when there was a famine in the days of Avram Avinu, so Avram Avinu went down to Egypt. So Yitzchak saw he didn't want to do exactly the same as Avram. So he's on his way going down to Egypt. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him. If you go down to Egypt, you're being Mishana Dominic. A lot of times people think we're doing exactly the same as our forefathers did. It looks like, superficially it looks like the same, but under circumstances, because the whole world is different, the whole world changed, so you're not doing exactly the same. So the Baruch Shalom says, your father was not an oilo tmimo. You were hukdesh as a korban oilo. And if you take a korban, chutz l'mkomo becomes nifsal b'yotze. So the Baruch Shalom tells Yitzchak Avinu, if you'll go down to Egypt, you're going to be Mishana Dominic. If your father would have been a carbon, he wouldn't have gone down to Egypt either. It's not, you're not doing exactly the same. People think that they're doing exactly the same. You have to have a translation. You have to have a conversion table. Like Rabbi Schwab used to tell over the story. Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi here in Breuer Shul. So he told over the story that once a Chassidish person had to take care of some business. So he got dressed with his shirt and his tie and his suit, and then he forgot to bring his gartel. He forgot he's going to have to daven mincha. So came time to daven mincha, so he didn't have a gartel. So he took off the tie, and he used the tie as a gartel. So he said, the foolish man didn't realize that the Gemara has a din, you have to wear a gartel. Does it say in Chumash, does it say in Tanakh, you have to wear a gartel? The Pasuk says, Hikon likras alakecha Yisrael. You have to be fully dressed in a formal fashion. So fully formally dressed in the days of the Gemara meant you wore a sash. In Babel, they used to wear it. That was fully dressed, properly dressed. They would wear a sash. Today, people don't wear a sash. They wear a tie. So today, the gartel in the Gemara means the tie is manazeh. So the fellow took off his tie, made a gartel. The tie is fully formally dressed. That's what it means. You have to know what's the. You have to have a conversion table. You have to translate when it has a din in the Gemara. Sometimes the din depends on the mitzvah. He can't say, I'm doing exactly what my father did. Exactly. The father comes to Machsidus' section in Europe, all the children run around with Pealach. So the father comes to America, and he moves into Manhattan, and he has his children run around with Pealach. But no one else in the neighborhood runs around with Pealach. So the kid may feel very uncomfortable, and he may be very upset why the father made him wear Pealach. The father is not doing exactly the same as his father. His father had him run around Pealach when the whole village dressed like that. If no one else dresses like that, so you have to think 10 times, 100 times. Does it make sense that I should have my child run around Pelech? I'll be the only one in the neighborhood. Is that called doing exactly the same?
What about black hats?
Okay, everything is like that. You have to investigate everything. Let's say, my grandfather was the founder of the Mizrahi. My grandfather was the founder of the Aguda. So because my grandfather, I have to join. What has it got to do? The Aguda before Hakamas Amadina, now Aguda after Hakamas is a different story. And after Mechemet Sheshet Ha'imim is a different story. Everything is different. You have to judge. The Aguda now stands for what the Mizrahi used to stand for. Beferish. Originally, the Aguda never joined the coalition government in Eretz Yisrael. And they always said, it's Yeharek Val Yabi, you're not allowed to. And then at that time, Rav Shach was part of the Aguda. He was part of the Bad Matzis Gelatar. So he said, Higi Azman, they have to join the coalition government. So at that time, Rav Moshe Sternbuch was a young whippersnapper. So that, now he's an old man. At that time, he was very young. So he said, he started to attack Rav Shach. Rav Shach was 80 years older than him. What do you mean, attack Rav Shach? How can you join the coalition? It's Yehorek Bal Yaver. So Rav Shach defended himself. What do you mean? The dinim stay fixed, the Eilam Avod. You can't join the coalition. Then it's etched in stone. It's not etched in stone. Based on the circumstance, you have to decide which direction to go. So the Aguda today stands for what the Mizrahi used to stand 4 years ago. Everything is different. The whole world is different. The whole world is different today. Every shaila that comes up, you have to reinvestigate. Maybe the dinim of the Torah don't change, but the mitzvahs of the world changes. So under certain circumstances, the din is like this. Other circumstances, the din is like that. So that's what over here, Yitzhak Avinu thought that he's doing exactly the same as his father. There's a famine, so he's going to go down to Egypt. The Rebbe Shlom tells him, no, if you'll go down to Egypt, there'll be a shinui. It's not the same. It's the same regarding the Metzitza V'Peh. Our ancestors all did Metzitza V'Peh. The reason why they did it was because the Tanoim and Amaroim were on the cutting edge of medicine. They followed all the latest things in medicine. So in the days of the Gemara, that was considered the best medical way to prevent infection. So they were always on the cutting edge, so they always did the latest thing. So we should do the same as our forefathers. We should listen to the doctors of our generation. We should also be listened to all the truth. We should be 2,000 years behind the time. The Rabbanim should be ahead of the time. They should listen to the latest news. We should be the first ones to do everything. For so many centuries, whenever there would be epidemics by the Goyim, so the Jews suffered less than the Goyim, because the Jews went to mikveh, and they had more better hygienic conditions. When they had the mad cow disease, so the Jews that kept kashrus had nothing to worry about. We would never shech such an animal that was diseased. It would certainly be a trefa. At that time, when the mad cow disease started, when was it? 10, 15 years ago. A lot of Goyim started buying kosher meat. They realized, oh, if you eat kosher meat, you won't get sick. So the Jews, when they had a lot of these plagues, a lot of the diseases were caused because the goyim had an orla and the Jews had a circumcision. So we were healthier than them because you don't collect the dirt and filth over there. So a lot of goyim realized, hey, this is hygienic. So a lot of goyim practice circumcision because it's hygienic. So the Jews were always ahead of the game. The Jews were always in the forefront. The Jews were always doctors, and they always listened to the latest news in their medicine. So now all of a sudden it became, we have to do like our forefathers. We should do like our forefathers. Our forefathers listened to the doctors of their generation. So we should listen to the doctors of our generation. We should be the doctors. We should figure out what's the best way to prevent infection. Not to be idiot to them. Not to be understood. It's the ABC. You have the same kind of a story by Yoshua ben Nun. It says, Yoshua ben Nun made a cherem on Yericho. So there was one character, Ochan ben Karmi ben Zabdi ben Zerach, violated the cherem. And then when they waged the war with Ai, so the Jewish people lost the war. So Yoshua ben Nun complains to the Rebbe Shlom, why did we lose the war? So he tells them they should draw lots, and it turns out that Ochan violated the cherem. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has an expression when the conversation was going between the Baruch Shalom and Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun says, why did we lose the war? Baruch Shalom says, it was your stupid fault. Who told you to make a cherem on Yericho? Somebody violated the cherem, and that's why you didn't deserve to win the next war in Ai. So then the Gemara continues on the same daf to say that this character, Ochan ben Karmi ben Zabdi ben Zerach, violated every single cherem that Moshe Rabbeinu made. When Moshe Rabbeinu waged war, he also made a cherem, and Ochan violated all the cherem. So what's the Rebbeinu Shlom? So the Mashor quotes the Kasha from the Mefarshim, from the earlier Achren. So what does the Rebbeinu Shlom have a tain against Yericho? It's your stupid fault who told you to make a cherem. What do you mean who told me? I did exactly what my Rebbe did. Yeshua ben Nun was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made a cherem every time he made a Melchama. He was Magdash everything he made a cherem. So Yeshua ben Nun did the same thing. And this character violated every single cherem in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. He violated his cherem also. So what is Yeshua ben Nun at fault? So the Mashor answers, the Kasha is a mistake. This is not a mitzvah like Netilas Lulav, that it doesn't make a difference what generation you live in. You have to shake a lulav, you have to bench, you have to wear tzitzis, you have to keep Shabbos. Making a cherem, the leader of Klal Yisrael has to decide. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Moshe Rabbeinu decided it makes sense. It's a nice thing, you give a cherem, and if someone will violate the cherem, the rest of Klal Yisrael will not be held responsible, because there wasn't yet the din of Klal Yisrael HaRevim Zeh B'Zeh. Orvus, Klal Yisrael HaRevim Zeh B'Zeh, only began Mishavar Yisrael HaYarden, after they crossed the Yarden, and they had the brachas, the Klal Yisrael HaGriz MaHarevo. Then it says, HaNitztor Yisrael Hashem HaLakeinu VaHaNiklo Slon of HaRedol HaRedolam Lasa, the din of HaRevim Zeh B'Zeh. Yeshua ben Nun thought that he's doing exactly the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Shlom said, what are you talking about? Stupid. You're not supposed to make a cherem now. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, one person will violate the cherem, the whole tzibur will not be punished. But now you have to use your brains. And politics is always like that. Whenever it comes to politics, you can't say, my grandfather was the founder of the Aguda, therefore I have to be Aguda. Aguda 100 years ago, Aguda today is a different Aguda. Before HaKamas HaMdin and after HaKamas HaMdin, the Mizrahi is different, the Agud is different, everything is different. Nothing is the same. You can't say, this is my family tradition. You have to have a big Talmud Chacham to determine how do you carry over that the Gartel in the days of the Gemara today becomes the tie. So what parallels the Aguda from 100 years ago to now? You have to be able to determine. I remember every couple of years, the World Zionist Congress has elections. So whoever becomes a member of the World Zionist Congress has a right to vote. And depending on how many votes each group has, that's how the Jewish agency distributes money in Eretz Yisrael. So if more people will vote for Mizrahi, so the Jewish agency will give more money to support Mizrahi yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. It was a discussion, different Rabbanim, we're speaking to different Rabbanim in New York area, we should get all the Talmidim and all the yeshivas to join the Mizrahi. For $10 you join the Mizrahi, and then Mizrahi will have so many more votes in the election, in the World Zionist election, and then they'll get more money from the government. So one of them says, he doesn't think Rab Chaim Oizer would have approved. You knew Rab Chaim Oizer? You never saw Rab Chaim Oizer. And you understand Rab Chaim Oizer so well that you think he wouldn't have approved. I'm a shulina. How can you make such a statement? I don't think Rav Chaim Ozer would have approved. You have to know how to translate from one generation to the other. You have to understand the political situation to understand what's the same. What's considered following in the footsteps of your forefathers?
So, playing in halacha, and he has a malchum, not the pesach. Should we wear a tie for every tefillah, just like these regardless?
Rabbi Schwab is probably right. The more correct is you should wear a tie. It's supposed to be formally dressed. Should be dressed properly. Probably is correct. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Karosa l'shabbosaynig l'kadosh Hashem mechuba." The Nana continues to say, "That how does it go?" I forgot how the pasuk begins over there. So the Gemara on the end of it. So it says, "V'ha'chalticha nachlas yankev avicha." So the Gemara in the end of Shabbos has a comment. The Rebbe Shalom is going to give us nachlas Yaakov. So it says, not nachlas Avraham, which was small, not lachlas Yitzchak, which was a little bitter. Nachlas Yankov Avicha is the whole of Eretz Yisrael, that Yankov Avinu was a faratz the yom of a kedem of a tzafon of an egma. So apparently the Gemara understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Eretz Yisrael, but what he promised Avram Avinu was only Eretz Zayin Amamin. Chorzim Arbis, Losses Eretz Haknani, Achite Amar Apri Zayin Lusav, Agigoshi, there it says six, and Chumash says Zayin Amamin. So that was a smaller section. Then And Gerar, Chevel Aza, the Gaza Strip, was originally apparently not included in what was given to Avram Avinu. But then when Yitzchak thought that he's going to go down to Egypt to do the same as Avram Avinu, so he went to Chevel Aza, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Gur Boretz Azos, Ve'yim Chavav Aracheko, etc. Ki Lecho Zaracha Atenis Kol Haratz Israel. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk. At that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yitzchak more than he promised Avram Avinu. An extra space. Chevel Aza was given as part of Eretz Yisrael, was given to Yitzchak Avinu. And then Yaakov Avinu was given bigger Eretz Yisrael. Ofarat the Yom of a Kedem. So the pasuk says, "V'achalticha nachlas Yaakov Avicha." We're going to get the larger form of Eretz Yisrael. Not what was promised to Avram Avinu and not what was promised to Yitzchak Avinu. So basically, when Yitzchak went down to Chevel Aza, he already went to Chutz Laretz. He had already violated. He went. So Baruch Shalom said, "No, I'm here by making it Eretz Yisrael. You didn't yet go to Chutz Laretz. You didn't go to Chutz Laretz yet. Mitzrayim is Chutz Laretz. Don't go. I'll tear Mitzrayim because you're a korban. Shchoim Baruch Asher Ma'alecha. This is considered Eretz Yisrael." The pasuk says that it was a difficult year. It was Vahi Rob Baruch. And the famine was in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim there was no famine. So nonetheless, the pasuk says that Yitzchak was blessed. Vayizir Yitzchak ba'oretz ha'hi, vayimtza bashana ha'hi, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, ba'oretz ha'hi, that's where the famine was. Everything was bad. Bashana ha'hi was a bad year. And nonetheless, a miracle occurred, and he had, vayimtza me'er sharim, he had 100 times more than what he expected was going to grow. Why was he trying to calculate how much it's going to grow? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Yitzchak made an omed lemaisris. Yitzchak was given the opportunity to be mafresh maisris, and he was trying to calculate how much do I think is going to grow, and it turned out that it grew 100 times as much, and he had to give much more maisa. So the Rambam quotes this Medrash in Hilchas Malochim. The Rambam says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, it says in Bereshis, "Vaitzava Hashem Malikim al Ha'adam Leimer Mekol Eitzagan Ochal Teichal." So the Gemara understands from that pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon six mitzvahs. He didn't give him the din of Eiv Menachai because he had to be a vegetarian. He wasn't allowed to eat any meat at all. After the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Noach permission to eat a meat, just like you were allowed to eat fruits and vegetables till now, now you can eat flesh as well. So he was given the din of Eved Melachah. So the Rambam writes the whole history. Originally, six mitzvahs were given to Adam HaRishon. The seventh mitzvah was given to Noach after the Mabel. So those are the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And then Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Milo. Yitzchak Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Hafroshes Meiser. That's based on the Pasuk Terei Sedra, Me'o Shorim. And Yaakov Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Gidon Noshe. This is a quotation from a Medrash Rabbah. That's what it says in the Medrash Rabbah. So remember, Rav Soloveitchik made a comment. What is the Medrash Rabbah driving at? What's the significance of pointing this out? So he said that the Mishnah Lamelech has a Sefer Drush that's called Parashas Drachim, where he has essays on different topics. He has an essay on Bias HaMashiach, has an essay on the Chashivas of giving Tzokah, the Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael, different essays. So he has one essay, the whole Parashas Drachim is famous for this, the other essays are less famous. He has an essay where he claims that there was a machlokes Taisvis in the Ramban, whether the Obis Kodem Matan Torah were Yotzei Mechlal B'nei Noach, or they still had the status of B'nei Noach. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov Kodem Matan Torah, did they have a din of B'nei Noach or not? So he interprets Midrashim based on this. He has a difficult Midrashim, and he fits in the whole Pshetel. One of the early Hasidic Rebbes made a comment that when the Mishlam Melech Sefer was printed, there was a big kitrug in the Bezun Shalmayil against the B'nei Yisrael that were making Leitzonis out of the Torah. They made all these Pshetlach, that this was the Machlokes Yosef and Paro, and this was Machlokes Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. B'nei Yisrael had a din of B'nei Noach, or the Yotzei Mechlal B'nei Noach. Whatever. So the Mishlam Melech says that this is a Machlokes Taisvis and the Ramban, he quotes the Mekoros. So what is the correct assumption? Did the Ovis have the din of Bnei Noach, or did they have the din of Israel? So Rav Soloveitchik thought an in-between shita. It has to be a compromise shita. We always say the bracha, Shekedushana b'mitzvahs avitzivano. Kedushas Yisrael means that Yechai v'mitzvahs. The Mishnah in the first parak in Kelim lists off Eser Kedushas Hain. The 10 levels of Kedushas Ha'aretz. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, Ayoras HaMekov, Eschaim have more Kedusha, Yerushalayim has more Kedusha, Harabais has more Kedusha, then the Ezra Snoshim has more Kedusha than the rest of Harabais, then the Azara has more Kedusha, Ben Ulam Ulam Mizbech has more Kedusha, the Ulam, the Hechol, the Kodesh HaKadosh, Mench Ne'abadim, there are 10 levels. So every step of the way, the Mishnah says, Eretz Yisrael has more Kedusha, and it tells you which dinim apply in Eretz Yisrael, don't apply in Chutz. Ayoras HaMekov Eschaim has a certain din. Yerushalayim has a din, and Harabais has a din. Every step, Kedusha means no such thing as some Kedusha artiloi, just abstract Kedusha. In the modern Hebrew, artiloi means naked, bare. So that's an expression. No such thing as Kedusha artiloi, it's just someone is holier than me. Well, holier means he does more mitzvahs than I do. Kedusha is to the extent that you have mitzvahs, to the extent that you have chiyuv mitzvahs. A Jew has a Kedusha, so we have a chiyuv to do more mitzvahs than the Umas HaOlam have. So when you want to discuss whether the Ovis had a din of Kedushas Yisrael, so the Medrash Rabbah says, Avraham Avinu was not a Ben Noach. He had one mitzvah over and above everybody else. The Rambam says, the whole world was going from the days of Noach to the days of Avraham to seven mitzvahs. Then Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah. Yitzchak Avinu was given an additional mitzvah. Yankov was given an additional mitzvah. So it means that Avraham Avinu had a Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael. And Yitzchak Avinu had even a deeper Kedushas Yisrael because he had two mitzvahs, and Yaakov Avinu had even more Kedushas Yisrael. And perhaps the Medrash felt, that's how Rav Soloveitchik said, perhaps the Medrash was motivated to say like this because the Pasuk says in Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris, was Zechartis B'si Yaakov, Afetz B'si Yitzchak, Afetz B'si Avraham Eskar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Krisis bris with each one of the others. So a Krisis bris probably means that he was one of the founding fathers and something was Nischadish then. So that's what the Medrash wants to say, that there was a new Krisis Bris with Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah. And there was a third new Krisis Bris with Yaakov Avinu, because he was given an additional mitzvah of Gidon Osher. To the extent that you have a Chi of mitzvahs, to that extent you have a Kedushas Yisrael.
In the Medrash, it says the Pasuk, Yitzchak Hashem Elokim Al Adam Lehmor, doesn't it say that Achol Tocheleh First David Mechai?
The Gemara has a machlokes whether Adam Rishon was allowed to eat meat or not. So the Rambam follows that opinion that he was not allowed to eat meat bechlal. So the Eben Achai wasn't relevant yet. The Gemara has the two opinions in the Sugya Bnei Noach in the middle of Sanhedrin. The Sugya is about Bnei Noach. It happens to be Daf Nun Ches in Sanhedrin. And Zayin Nun Ches and Tes, a couple of blot Gemara. So the Rambam assumes that. That until after the Mabul, they weren't allowed to eat any meat at all.
By Avram and Nachi Zedek, that
wasn't Trumas and Isers. That's what the Ravid asks on the Rambam. The Rambam is just quoting a Medrash. So the Ravid asks, how can you say that Yitzchak was the first one who was Hifrish Meisers? It says, Vayitan lo Meiser Mikol. Avram Avinu gave Malkit Zedek Melchim, gave him Meiser. So you see that Avram Avinu already gave Meiser. So the case of Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. So he says, Avram Avinu gave Maisek Sofim. Maisek Sofim is a prat within Hilchas Tzedakah. So Tzedakah Avram Avinu did. It did. Manashe Tzavis Bono is based on Lechad V'dech Hashem Lasset Tzedakah Mishpat. Tzedakah Mishpat Avram Avinu did. But that's not really Maisris of Hafroshes Maisris from Paris. Yitzchak, that's what the Kes Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. But Yitzchak was the first one who is Hifrish. A Maisris from the Paris Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting, the Ravid learned by Harusa with the Balamor, so each one has Hasogas on the other one Sefer. The Ravid has a Sefer Bali HaNefesh on Hilchas, the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, so the Balamor has Hasogas, and then the Balamor has a Sefer on the Rift, the Mor HaGodol, the Mor HaKotten, so the Ravid has Hasogas on the Balamor Sefer. So there is a Hasoga that the Ravid has on a Balamor at the end of Chulin. This is already quoted in the Sefer Kafta B'Ferach. We're missing that part. The Sefer by the Ravid is called Kosov Shom. Every paragraph begins Kosov Shom, my Chavrusa, Rabbi Nizrachi Alevi writes, and he quotes, and then he says, and he's wrong. If he says he stole it from me, it's mine. So it's good. And if he doesn't like it, then he says it's wrong. He has a comment on every paragraph in the Sefer Mo. So we're missing the end of the Kosov Shom. We have a lot of it. But this paragraph in the Kosov Shom, the end of Chulin, is quoted already in the Sefer Kafta B'Ferach that the Rabbi wrote in Kosov Shom. He writes the following, that there is a fundamental machlokes that's quoted in Yerideh Chelek Gimel when they have Hilchas Tzedakah and has the dinim of Maisek Sofim. Is Maisek Sofim Deraisa Derabbanan? Or a minig, we assume it's only a minig. It's not the rice, it's not even the rabban. We assume it's only a midas chasidus, a recommended midas chasidus. Then there's another machlokes, which is a little related to this, where the maisek sofim is a detail, a prat within hilchas tzedakah, or it's basically a form of maisris. So maisa oni, it's a form of maisa oni. So the ravid in the kosov shom sounds like he holds that it's the rice, and he sounds beferish that he holds that it's a din of maisa oni. So then you understand the Hasagas Ravid on the Rambam very well. The Ravid asks, what do you mean? The first one who was Ifrish Maisis was Yitzchak Avinu, but Avram Avinu gave Maisek Sofim, and Maisek Sofim is an aspect, it's a form of Maiser Oni. So that's Maiseris. Maiser Oni is Maiseris. The Shaila is, Ayayotse Maisek Sofim, if you give the money to a hospital, or you give the money to a yeshiva, but you say, no, Maiser Oni has to be given literally Na'anim. Maisek Sofim. Maisa Oni goes to Anim. You can't give Maisa Oni with auction rough to the highest bidder, and then we'll take the money and give it to the shul. The shul is not an Oni. You have to give it literally to Anim. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokes. What about Maisek Sofim? We assume Maisek Sofim is a minig, but what's the nature of the minig? Is it that this is the amount that everyone should give for Tzedakah? And Tzedakah you give to the Chevra Kadisha, some of it goes to the hospital, some of it goes to the shul, some of it goes to the yeshiva. So they say no. Maisek Sofim is a form of Maiser Anim. You're only Yotze if you give the Maisek Sofim to Anim. So that's a machlokes. So it could be that the Ravid here is Lushitosoi. The Ravid is the one who holds, and Maiser Sofim is a form of Maiser Anim. So Maiser Anim, how can you say that Yitzchak was the first one who was Hifrish Maiser? Avram Areni gave Maisek Sofim, which is a form of Maiser Anim. But the Rambam seems to hold out. So the Rambam, just quoting the Medrash, so the Rambam apparently felt, that's what the Kes Mishnah says, that Maisek Sofim is an aspect of Tzedakah, has nothing to do with Maiser Oni.
But I've mentioned in the past that Mr. Salvechik thought that Kedusha Yisrael, or Kedusha in general, is created from the Torah Shavtav, or the Osios, or things like that. That's why, or the Kedusha Beis Knesset, when the Torah is in there, or the difference between Kedusha
So would we say that, I mean, according to this idea, would we say that the what generates the Kedushas Yisrael changed after Matan Torah? Because now we're saying that this additional mitzvah that created more Kedusha. So we say it changed?
Yeah, we assume that there's more. Yaakov Avinu had more Kedusha than Yitzchak, who in turn had more Kedusha than Avraham Avinu. And after Matan Torah, we have more Kedusha than Yaakov Avinu, because we were given more mitzvahs. Kedusha is always to the extent that you have mitzvahs, that the extent you have Kedusha. In addition, I was going to let you thought, based on the Nefesh HaChaim, that the shorish of all Kedusha has to be that you have some Divrei Torah there, either written or engraved on the heart, something you have to have Divrei Torah. But Kedusha is to the extent that you have mitzvahs, that the extent that you have the Kedusha.
Yitzchak
probably was not nischayev either to give. He only machuyev to give maizvus in Eretz Yisrael that has kedusha sa'oretz. Didn't have kedusha till after the first 14 years after they crossed over the Yarden. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu. Kumisalch baras lo'akra l'rochbo. So he acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't have Kedusha until Kedusha Rishayna. Kedusha Rishayna was in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Tosfos in Yevamos quotes Rabbeinu Hanano that Kedusha Rishayna means in the days of Avraham Avinu, and Kedusha Shniyah is in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. So Tosfos says it's not accepted, it's not pshat. The days of Avraham Avinu, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha. It belonged to Bnei Yisrael as Dini Mamonos. But the Kedusha only began after the 14 years Achar Shev Shekov Shev Shev
Shechilku. Is the principle that more mitzvos is more Kedusha shot for Bracha of Shasani Tirtzano? Should they have less mitzvos?
Yeah, that's what the Tosefta says. The reason why the men say Bracha Shalosani Isha, Shalosani Yav, Shalosani Isha, Shalosani Goy, because the Jews have more mitzvos than the Goyim, and the free men have more mitzvos than the Avodim, and the men have more mitzvahs than the women. So all those three brachas have to do with mitzvahs. That's what it says in the Tosefta. That's the source of the whole institution of the three brachas.
We'd say that men have more kedusha than women?
Moshe Feinstein has an essay about that. He doesn't think so, because the pasuk says, by Mamin Hasina, Kosoimu Leves Yankiv, Sagid Levinei Yisrael, Beis Yankiv, the women, Sagid Levinei Yisrael, the men, and it says, Atem Tiuli, Mamlechas Koinu, Megoi Kadosh, that all the mitzvahs were given equally to everybody. The women have the kedushas yisrael with respect to the mitzvahs. If a woman wants to volunteer to fulfill netilas lulav, so we paskin that she says a bracha. If a goy won't want to volunteer to shake a lulav, he wants to have bracha, shake a lishana bin mitzvahs or tzivano. He can't say, if he wants to say, he should say, bracha atah alkein malacha oilam, asher nasata mitzvahs netilas lulav la'amcha yisrael. He can't say that. There's a Nochri who comes here every Shabbos from the Bronx, and he davens here, so he always likes to say his own Kiddush. How can he say, Yivonu Echad Avasani Kiddush Mekolam? He's not Jewish, it's Dovash Karim. You want to say Kiddush, okay, say, but you can't say, Elkeinu Melech Olam. What do you say? You don't. You said, say, Asher Kiddushan B'mitzvayisah V'ratz Avanu. That's Sheker, it's not Kiddushan. If you want to say Kiddush, you can say, but he should touch up the text a little bit. So the women, we assume, the Rambam holds not that women cannot say a bracha. Different reason why. But from the fact that we assume the women, Ashkenaz and follow the Torah, women can say a bracha, means they have the full Kedusha, so it's Kedushana b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, and uftarano, if the women don't want it, they don't have to. But they have the same level of Kedusha Yisrael that the men have, because they really are mechuyev in the mitzvahs. But they have an exemption. If they don't want it, they don't have to. Unlike the Nochri, who doesn't have at all. If the Nochri is going to volunteer as an Enem Mitzvah of Yisrael, he'll get a kiyum, but it's not the same as a woman volunteering. It's very different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yitzchak Avinu, Nachlas Yitzchak is larger than Nachlas Avram. He's giving Kol HaRatzis HaEl, Ekev Asher Shema Avram B'Kol Liba Yishmoy Mishmati Mitzvosai Chukasai V'Sarosoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Yitzchak Avinu and is going to fulfill the promise that he gave to Avraham Avinu to have their basis Zarecha Kechochvei HaShemayim, like the stars in the sky, because Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvahs. But Yishma Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukasai V'Sarosai. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Mishmarti usually means Asu Mishmeres LeMishmarti, that Avraham Avinu even observed the Dinim Derabbanan. Mishmartem is Mishmarti is the pasuk in the end of Parshas Achrei Mois, that the Gemara learns that in Yevamos Daf Chof Aleph, that the Bezdin has authority to make a gzera derabbanan, asum mishmeris lemishmarti, to make gzeras and harchokas. So here, vayishmar mishmarti Avraham Avinu figured out on his own. The matter says he figured out the Rabbanan Shlom didn't tell him. He figured out the mitzvah of lulav and shofar and tzitzis and Shabbos and so on. He figured out on his own, and he was able to figure out the gzeras derabbanan as well. Vayishmar mishmarti lemishmarim, mishmeris lemishmarti. The matter says he was even mikayim erev tavshilim. So that's what many discuss. Where do you see Erev Tavshilim? What's the added chiddush Erev Tavshilim? They quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he thinks that it's a misprint. It shouldn't say Erev Tavshilim, it should say Erev Etchumen. It said Erev Etchumen, and then someone made a Rashi Tevis Ayin Tov, and then by mistake they spelled it out as Erev Tavshilim. Why Erev Etchumen? Because it says Ekev. Ekev means with the heel. So the Medrash Rabbah figured this out from the use of the term Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli. He fulfilled the mitzvah that has to do with walking with your heel, namely not to go chutz litchum. Now they say no, Erev Tavshilim, they give explanations why Erev Tavshilim. Yitzchak was prepared to give the brachas to Esav, and then Rivka tells her son Yaakov that he should fool the father and get the brachas, and Yaakov is afraid. Avi, my father will curse me. So the mother says, the curse should befall me. So the Targum Onkelos says, Targum translates, Olai, Itamar benevuah. I was given a prophecy that you should do this. This was done under instructions of nevuah. Why didn't she tell her husband? She was told when she was pregnant. Shnei gomivitnech liom lom yamatz v'rav yavitzar. One is going to be running to learn in the base medrash. One is going to be running to the base avodah zarah. So she was told that one of them was going to be, Esav was going to be a Rosh, and Yaakov Avinu is going to be a Tzaddik. So why didn't she tell Yitzchak? Apparently, it says in Chumash, V'adav Hashem Moshe Lemar. So the Gemara says in the first Perek in Yuma, Lemar means Lemar li Yisrael. If Moshe Rabbeinu weren't authorized to tell Bnei Yisrael the dinim, it would have been understood that he's supposed to keep it confidential. But here also, Avraham Avinu was told b'nevuah that his wife is going to have a baby. Before Parshas Vayera, at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, Avinu was told that his wife was going to have a baby, because of Shema Yitzchok, and he didn't tell his wife that she's going to have a baby. Then when the angels came, and they said, so she started to laugh, and there was a whole discussion. Obviously, she didn't hear it from her husband. So apparently, I have never been given any nevuahs, but apparently, if you're given a nevuah, it's understood that unless you're authorized to share it with others, it's understood that it's supposed to be confidential. So Avram never told his wife the nevuah that he got. And over here, Rivka never told her husband Yitzchak the nevuah that she got, that it's going to be Shnei Goyim Bevitznech, and two different personalities. One is going to be an Oibed Abed Ezor, one is going to be a Talmid Chacham. So she never told her husband. And then she got a nevuah that this is what she should do. Alay Yisamah ben nevuah that Yaakov Avinu should go through this whole masquerade, and he should get the brachas from the father. At the end of the Sedra, when Rivka tells her husband, I'll die if my son Yankov marries a non-Jewish girl, so then Yitzchak Avinu instructs, Katzti b'chayim epnei b'nai s'cheis. I'd rather die. So Yitzchak instructs Yankov he should go marry someone from the family, and then he says, so the Beis HaLevi has a long essay. He points out this: the Birchas Avraham means the Kedushas Yisrael. So Yitzchak Avinu never had a Havamina. This is his interpretation. He never had a Havamina to give the Birchas Avraham to Esav. He just wanted to give Esav the Brachas of Olam Hazeh. So he should make a lot of money. He should be a successful businessman. So Yitzchak Avinu thought that he didn't realize that one is a tzaddik, one is a rasha. His wife never told him. So he thought they're both fine tzaddikim. Yaakov Avinu is going to be the rabbi, and Esav is going to be the Baal HaBos. That's what Yitzchok thought. So he thought the rabbi doesn't need wealth. The rabbis will succeed in life without so much money. So he thought he has to give the blessing of Hatzloch and Olam Hazeh to Esav. The Baal HaBatim have to have money to support all the causes that the rabbis will determine are of value. And Rivka held that that's a mistake. And she got the Nevuah, Eliyasama ben Nevuah. She was told no, that we have the bracha has to be given. But the Birchas Avram, that he always knew in the first place. That's going to go to Yankiv. Yankiv is going to be the one. Ki bi Yitzchak, ki kor lechazera bi Yitzchak, ki lo kol Yitzchak, the Gemara says. So he had heard that. He heard from his father that the prophecy was bi Yitzchak, ki lo kol Yitzchak, only one of his sons. That son who's not going to intermarry. Esau was already intermarried. So he was out of the running. He wasn't going to get the Birchas Avram. So Yitzchak thought the Birchas Avram is going to go to Yankiv, and the Brach of Hatzlocha and Gashmin and Olam Hazeh should go to Esav. And that was the mistake, that the Brach of Gashmin should also be given to Yankiv Avinu. Later in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, when Yankiv Avinu is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, so he sends a message, he sends. So I think the Rambam points out Esav had a home in Eretz Yisrael also, and he had a home in Arz HaSeir Sdei Adom. But Yaakov wanted to emphasize that you don't have Eretz Yisrael. You didn't get the Birchas Avram. You don't have the Kedushas Yisrael. You don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. You intermarried. You married a non-Jewish woman. Women. Few women, and you have no shaychus to Eretz Yisrael. This was all one package deal. The one who gets the Birchas Avram is the one who has the Kedushas Yisrael. One is not allowed to intermarry. And the one who gets Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Ramban says. He sent them specially, Yankiv, when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, sent specially the message to Arz HaSeir Sdei Adom to emphasize that you don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. At the end of the parasha, it says that the father wants he should marry a Jewish girl, so he goes and he marries Machlas Bas Yishmael. She's not a Jewish girl, she's a Goya. He thought the father's Makban on Yichas, he should marry. So he married a girl with a big Yichas, but she wasn't Jewish. He's not going to get Birchas Avon by marrying Yishmael's daughter. The Medrash has the two traditions here, whether the name is pronounced Mochalas or Machalas. So they quote from Reb Shua Leib Diskin that the Medrash seems to have two interpretations. The Yerushalmi says that when a chosen gets married, so he gets a mechila, if he does truly, he gets a mechilas avinas. So it's learned out from over here. It says Vikas Mochalas. It was a nickname. Her nickname was Mochalas. That wasn't the real name. Why was the nickname Mochalas? Because when they got married, they did tshuva and they got a mechilas avinas. And the other Medrash assumed, the Medrash that Rashi quotes seems to assume that the correct reading is not Mochalas with a comet, but rather Machalas, and Miloshen Machala, that the original wives that he had were Marshasin, so Hosef Risha Abishasa, he married another woman who wasn't Jewish, and they were all going to pull him down in observance of mitzvahs. So those are the two ways to read the name, whether it's Mochalas or Machalas. Some have a diktuk that it's in the last pasuk, so you laid it twice, so you laid it once by Shvi and you laid it once by Maftir. So some have a practice, they lay in it once like this and once like that. So you're not Yaitza either time. Yaitza Mimanavshach, whatever. Yaitza Mimanavshach the correct way. Yeah, the Gemara says that's one of the three people who get a Mechilas Avinus. A person who gets Smicha gets a Mechilas Avinus. Oyle Lugdula, a president is appointed to President of the United States, and a Chosen. You only get a Mechilas Avinus if you do Tshuva. This week's Haftorah has a lot of famous psukim that the Gemara has a lot of dinim based on. Okay, Mr. Thomas Salman al-Shabbos will discuss.